Okay, a couple of months ago, Pastor Paul asked me to preach on this topic of revival. So what I did was the following week, I was walking around my house and I just walked about 40 minutes. I do that a couple of times a week. And after that walk, I came back. I said, oh, thank you, Lord. I got the sermon already. So I started writing it down. This is before I went to Malaysia. I only got back about a week plus ago. So I thought I got it all made. Then this last week, I suddenly remembered, I believe the Holy Spirit must have prompted my memory when I was doing the book of Genesis with Chuck Missler. And I remembered chapter 26, which talks about Isaac, the son of Abraham, digging the well. And I said, oh, I better have a good look at it. But little did I know that when I read this whole chapter, things started to flood in. And to me now, reading the Bible and meditation, it means the same thing. Because as I read, I would go into this meditation, or certain words would just suddenly come out, and the Lord would start to speak to me that way. So as a result, I scrapped my previous message, although the title is still exactly the same, but it's really quite interesting to compare my own notes. So my message this morning is based upon my meditation of this passage of Genesis chapter 26 regarding Isaac, the son of Abraham. In fact, you see, when you meditate, things starts to move very quickly. And it's very interesting that when I read that chapter a few days ago, again, I got the whole sermon in that one hit. And it was then to fill in now all the other details. So you see, this is the power of Scripture. When you meditate, you can really never know what and how the Lord is going to minister to you. So this personal experience of this passage certainly has been the most uplifting and encouraging for me. And I'm sharing this morning for two reasons. One is to demonstrate to you the power of meditation if practiced properly and consistently. And also to encourage you to go on this journey. Certainly for those who are in my home on a Thursday and Friday night, I mean, you are already on this journey with me. So I want to concentrate on three main areas. My first part of the talk will be my testimony of what Genesis chapter 26 meant to me. And then I'm going to share about the Welsh revival, although it's a very short revival, but it's a very unique revival. And then finally, to give you some tools based upon my own experience of personal revival, of how we could revive ourselves. Unless we are revived, we cannot pray for revival of the church or revival of the nation, because you are not revived. So we must start with ourselves first. So with that, I want to honor the Lord with a reading of certain sections of Genesis 26. And for those who can stand, I encourage you to stand while we read the word of the Lord. So those who would like to stand. Genesis 26, starting at verse 1. I'm reading from the International Standard Version. Later on, a famine swept through the land. This famine was different from the previous famine that had occurred earlier during Abraham's lifetime. So Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, at Gerar. That's when the Lord appeared to Isaac. "You are not to go down to Egypt," he said. "Instead, you are to settle down in an area within this land where I'll tell you. Remain in this land, and I'll be with and bless you by giving all these lands to you and to your descendants in fulfillment of my solemn promise that I made to your father Abraham. I'll cause you to have as many descendants as the stars of the heavens, and I'll certainly give all these lands to your descendants. Later on, through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will bless one another. I'm going to do this because Abraham did what I told him to do. He kept my instructions, commands, statutes, and laws. So Isaac lived in Gerar. Now we jump to verse 12. Isaac received a hundredfold return on what he planted that year in the land he received because the Lord blessed him. He became very wealthy and lived a life of wealth, becoming more and more wealthy. He owned so many sheep, cattle, servants, that the Philistines eventually became envious of him. They filled in with sand all the wells that Isaac's father, Abraham's servants, had dug during his lifetime. Then Abimelech ordered Isaac, "Move away from us. You have become more powerful than we are." So Isaac moved from there and encamped in Gerar Valley, where he settled. Isaac re-excavated some wells that his father had first dug during his lifetime because the Philistines had filled them with sand after Abraham's death. Isaac renamed those wells with the same names that his father had called them. While Isaac's servants were digging in the valley, they discovered a well with flowing water. But a herdsman who lived in Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsman. "The water is ours," they said. As a result, Isaac named the well Esek, for they had fiercely disputed with him about it. When his workers started digging another well, those herdsmen quarreled about that one too. So Isaac named it Sitna. Then he left that area and dug still another well. Because they did not quarrel over that one, Isaac named it Rehoboth, because he used to say, "The Lord has enlarged the territory for us. We will prosper in the land." Later on, he left there and went to Beersheba, where one night the Lord appeared to him. "I am the God of your father Abraham," he told him. "Don't be afraid because I am with you. I'm going to bless you and multiply your descendants on account of my servant Abraham." In response, Isaac built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. He also pitched his tents there and his servants dug a well. Later, Abimelech traveled to visit Isaac from Gerar. He arrived with Ahuzah, his staff advisor, and Phicol, the commanding officer of his army. "Why have you come to see me?" Isaac asked them. "Since you hate me so much that you send me away from you." "We have seen that the Lord is with you," they responded. "So we are proposing an agreement between us and you. Allow us to make a treaty with you by which you will agree not to do us any harm, just as we haven't harmed you, since we have done nothing but good for you after we sent you away in peace. As a result, you've been tremendously blessed by the Lord." So Isaac held a feast for them, and they ate and drank. They woke up early the next morning and made the treaty. After this, Isaac sent them off, and they left on peaceful terms. That very same day, Isaac's servants arrived and reported to him about a well that they had just completed digging. "We found water," they said. So Isaac named the well Sheba, which is why the city is named Beersheba to this day. O Abba, Father, creator of heaven and earth, Lord, we stand here trembling in your presence. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us appreciation of the spirit of the fear of the Lord. And Lord, I thank you for this privilege this morning of coming before your congregation to represent you. So, our Lord, I speak to my spirit, soul, and body, that they be totally aligned with your word. And Father, that every word that comes up through my mouth, Father, will be from you. That no words, Lord, be from myself. Father, I thank you. I bless your holy word in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Now, just to give you an idea of all these geographic places that we've just read, I don't know whether you'll be able to... And now when I want this thing to work, it doesn't work. Never mind. Have we got... It was working this morning. Doesn't matter. I will come up here. Basically, what I want to show you is this. If you could see Canaan, this is the promise. You got it? Which one is it? Okay. Canaan, this is the promised land where Isaac was living. There was this great famine. So what he did was he moved over to south, to first of all, to Gerar. Now, Gerar is literally border with Egypt, all right? And then he then dug up first well, Esek, further down, followed by Sidna, Rehoboth, and Beersheba, Sheba here, all right? So these are the wells that he dug. The meaning of this well, very easy to understand. If you read those verses, you see that it tells you. So Esek means contention, strife. Sidna meaning opposition, hostility. Rehoboth, plenty of space or plenty of room. And Sheba is actually means blessing. So it's a wealth of the oath. Sorry, means oath. And Sheba, the last one, is actually a sevenfold blessing. So I want to go to the first six verses. Now, Isaac faced this severe famine in his promised land. At the same time, there was prosperity in the south, in Egypt, which in the Bible is a symbol of the world, where the land was fertile and the cattle market was good. So the temptation is to leave and move south. So Isaac, as a compromise, moved out to Gerar, the capital of Philistines, which is at the border. So despite God asking Isaac to stay put in the promised land, he obeyed God only partially by not moving to Egypt, but to the border of the promised land between Egypt and this promised land, Canaan. So a place called Gerar, which is the entrance to Egypt. So the Lord is showing me in this verse, when I was reading it, that in time past, when I was in my 40s, despite encountering problems, I was not relying on Him wholeheartedly. I was still very much reliant on the world or in the world to find my solution. So this was what was coming to me as I started meditating. And the consequences of this wrong choice, as Isaac pursued a lifestyle of partial obedience, he encountered further difficulties, as shown by the first two wells that he dug. Esek, the first well, full of contention and strife. The second well, Sidna, opposition, hostility. So when I was reading this, it really hits me like a thunderbolt. I saw this so clearly in my own life. As I encountered life difficulties, I relied more on the counsel of the world than upon God. I was a slow learner. I did not learn from the first well, Esek, the well of contention and strife. So despite the difficulties, I still pursued the course of attempting to find my own solution through the world. As I did not learn the lesson, I struck even more opposition and hostility in life. So without going through all these unpleasant details, at my lowest points, there was full of contention in my home, even between Liu Cheng and myself, and between myself and the children. I literally had no peace at home or in my life. So even at this stage, I was still afraid to trust God completely and fully, still afraid to trust God to take care of me in the face of terrible trial. I still feel that I had to hang on to the world and the help and security that it seemed to offer. Does it make sense to many of you as well here? But here I'm reminded of the verse, and I quote this many times whenever I'm in this situation. It's in 1 John 2, 15 to 16, in the NLT version. Do not love this world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. So, there was, despite partial obedience in Isaac, there was this sudden change. He dug the third well, and he had water, and there was no contention. And he named it Rehoboth, because the Lord has enlarged the territory for us. We will prosper in the land. So this verse reminded me very much of January 2008 when I fell sick on the ski field in Aspen. So it was when the Lord spoke to me very clearly, spend time with me, that I obeyed and reduced my work in January 2008 when I came back from working 6 days a week then to 3 days a week. So upon reflection of this verse, I hear the Lord saying to me that I have enlarged your space in your study. See how much you have learned and matured since 2008. And one of my Friday night members a few years back, who knows me very well when I had young kids at Revival Life Center, one day this lady came up to me and she said, you know, Shu, the Lord has really given all the time back to you. I said, is there such a scripture? And she quoted me Joel 2:25. I will give you back what you lost. So the Lord is graceful. So despite this short period of time, and because I had remarked to her that how I wish the Lord had spoken to me even earlier in life, and that was why this lady was wise and gave me the verse, Joel 2:25, I will give you back what you lost. So indeed, when I reflect upon these 9 years, I'm amazed myself of how much I've learned the scriptures, how much I've learned and experienced the Lord through meditation, how much of revelation knowledge that the Lord has imparted to me, how much I've grown as a teacher of the word, and how much Liu Cheng and I have been able to encourage others to walk this same journey of consecration with us. Now, I won't read all these verses again. So in this part, I'm reminded that as I embark upon this journey of beholding the Lord gave me a dream of starting an intercessory prayer group, which in obedience I did a year later. So I call it together, Liu Cheng, we call it SHOP, S-H-O-P, Strathfield House of Prayer. So we've been worshiping at this altar since January 2009. You know, Pastor Paul, in fact, even when we moved to the South Coast, we can still call it the South Coast House of Prayer. It's still SHOP. And this verse, it really speaks to me, those that I underline. You know, Abimelech told Isaac, he said, I know the Lord is with you because you've been blessed all the time. And you've been tremendously blessed by the Lord. So he said it twice. And, you know, it's really interesting that even as I reduce my practice, all my medical colleagues know my journey because I just speak directly what I told them. In the beginning, a lot of them would come up with a question, what do you do in your spare time? Or some would say, oh, we can go and play golf now. I said, sorry, I don't have time for golf. And I'll tell them what I'm doing. And at least two of my medical colleagues, they've remarked this to me. They say, Shu, he said, your timing for everything, be it your medical practice, the stock market, or even in property, you seem to be always in perfect timing. And then this is what they say that really, I thought it was pretty profound for unbelievers to say this. He said, someone upstairs is looking after you. So that opens the door for me to then not preach to them, but to share with them my life story, including all my ex-bosses at Sydney University, Royal Prince Alfred Hospital. They all know what I'm doing. In the early days, they thought I was just a bit mad. I probably burned out. But now they see me in a totally different light. So the last well, the fourth well, is the well of Sheba, oath. Beersheba, well of the oath. So this is a sevenfold blessing, or a perfect blessing. And when I read this, I could not help but cry, because I felt the Lord has really blessed me so much with perfect blessing and counting, despite my struggle with my sinful nature. It can only be the grace of God, because God loves me, and He loves all of you too. As I reflect, I see the blessing so clearly in these last 9 years of walking with the Lord. I'm convinced that the blessings of God flow when we are in alignment with His word or His heart. And this is usually when we spend time with Him through worship, prayer, meditation. And I was literally counting my blessing the other day when I was meditating. And I said, Lord, how would people in GI, when they look at Liu Cheng and me, that we're always laughing, we're hugging, they know that we love each other. But little did they realize that there was a period of time when we were in strife, full of contention. It's only the grace of God. We still have a long way to go. We have partial healing with some of our children, and we're still work in progress, but things are moving. And I see tremendous blessings even in my medical practice and in my other business ventures. And just as the Lord blessed Isaac with many children, the Lord has blessed us with 8 grandchildren and counting. By July, we'll have the 9th one. So I see tremendous growth even in my spiritual understanding of the word. I see great connections and networks and favor with many men of God. I've learned from many. I've brought many to GI here, and many have even ministered in our home group. I see a growth in our Friday night group, not just in terms of numbers, but in their spiritual awakenings. And also in our relationship in our Friday night group with one another, I see that tremendous amount of love within the individuals in the group. And last but not least, I see the Lord's blessing upon our life as He gave us this opportunity to go to the Holy Land many times, to go to IHOP, more recently to go to Wales, and a few months ago, even to be able to step on all these nations of the great Southland of the Holy Spirit, and to be able to pray and have Holy Communion at each of these ground, especially Vanuatu, the very first place that the Quiros saw, and where he coined the term Great Southland of the Holy Spirit. So, indeed, the Lord has increased my territory in many areas and has prospered me also in many areas. When I think back to 2008, I have no regrets in all the things that the Lord has done in my life. And that's why, that's the power of meditation. When you meditate, it becomes automatic. And after a while, when you read the word, you will automatically meditate and the Lord will speak to you. And I want to change a notch higher now and talk about the Welsh revival. Though it's been a very short revival, only 2 years plus, it's a very unique revival. There was a simultaneous move of the Holy Spirit upon the whole of Wales. You know, many other revivals like the Azusa Street arrival, literally the revival happened only in Azusa Street. The Moravian revivals, it happens only in Herrnhut in Saxony, Germany. But this Welsh revival is unique. The Lord, the Holy Spirit fell in all places almost simultaneously. And I'm going to share with you how it happens. So one of the most dramatic effects was actually upon the population as well. And in fact, this revival, although short, has triggered revival throughout the rest of Britain, Scandinavia, parts of Europe, North America. In fact, the Azusa Street revival that started in 1906 came out as a direct result of the Welsh revival. In fact, they sent a message to Evan Roberts, said, please pray for us. And also in the mission fields of India, the Orient, Africa, Latin America. And having been revitalized by the refreshing water from the wells that we've dug through worship and incessant prayer, and we've been faithful to that, the Lord rewarded us last year in August with a trip to Wales. And I'm so glad that Peter Joanne was able to join us. And we went there to redig the wells of revival. And we went to all these places where revival took place, and we prayed and we shared Holy Communion. So this revival resulted in a short period of time, 150,000 people got converted and added to the church and churches and chapels. Lives were transformed, lifestyles were changed, homes and families were healed, churches were packed and on fire with fervor and zeal. Is it possible to happen in Sydney? I say yes, once we are revived. So this revival, but you know, it looks like it just happened by chance. No, because in 1899, before the turning, 11 years before the next millennium, would you believe it? Six major denominations globally met together, the leaders, and say, hey, we feel in our bones something is about to happen when we go into the new millennium. We got to pray. We got to forgive one another. We got to be united. And that was exactly what happened. And you know, Melbourne participated in this 1899 call to prayer for the next 11 years to usher in the new millennium. I understand there was something like 10,000 gathered together in Melbourne to pray. So I want to share with you now a few of these people who triggered the Welsh revival in different parts of Wales. One of them is this youth called Annie Davies. She was a church singer from Maastricht who became well known for her rendition of this song. We've sung it even in our church. Here is Love Vast as the Ocean during the 1904 Welsh Revival. And she was part of Evan Roberts' ministry. How this happened was that it was at one of these really big, I can't remember which church in Wales, where they were praying. And in those days, it's very interesting that the pastor would say that, all right, who has got a song to sing? They don't have all these kinds of things that we have. And someone would just either go on their knees or stand up and start singing. And everybody would just join in. I think that's what's happening in China now. And it was at this meeting that Annie Davies stood up and sang this song. The Holy Spirit fell. People started to weep. And I say, Lord, we got to see this in Australia. We got to see it in our homes. So in fact, the other interesting thing is that this song was written by William Rees, he's also a Welshman. He wrote this song 100 years ago. And how interesting that it should happen now. Then at New Quay in Cardiganshire, we were there with Peter and Joanne, and we spent a bit of time praying there. This guy, Pastor Joseph Jenkins, he himself was revived at one of his night meetings. In fact, he was also praying for revival. And the Lord appeared to him, and he got revived himself. And he got this girl called Florrie Evans saved. Actually, I'm going to read to you from my notes the history. It really is phenomenal. I'm going to read a little bit to you about this guy, Joseph Jenkins. It was right at the start of the new year in 1904 that Florrie Evans' minister, Joseph Jenkins of Tabernacle Calvinistic Methodist Chapel in New Quay since 1892, had an extraordinary experience of the Holy Spirit. As he was praying deep into the dark hours of the night, He had become increasingly desperate about the lack of genuineness and depth in his spiritual life for some time, and had given himself to seeking for a deeper encounter with God, spurred on by the writings of Andrew Murray on prayer and a biography of the great American evangelist T.L. Moody. That night, as he wrestled with God, he felt as if he was suddenly enveloped with a blue flame as the Holy Spirit descended on him in response to his desperate longings for more. It was an experience which utterly transformed him. And in the days that followed, he found he had a new responsiveness to the Word of God, a new level of insight that accompanied a far greater sense of the reality of Christ indwelling him. His preaching was suddenly incisively effectual, cutting to the very hearts of his listeners where he had previously been, according to the description of a friend, passionless. Now, I'm going to share with you a bit what happened about Florrie Evans. She was only about 15 years old. She was only saved a week or two before. And it was a Sunday evening meeting, and Joseph Jenkins was just asking the youth group, "What does the Lord Jesus Christ mean to you?" Asking the youth group. So you see, the other interesting thing is that in this move of God in Wales, the youths were out in huge numbers. And in fact, most revival, even in the Azusa Street, youths are involved. "What does the Lord Jesus Christ mean to you?" So there was a brief moment of silence as people grappled with the questions before young Florrie responding to a strong sense of being prompted from within and wanting to express something of the encounter with Christ she has had since surrendering her life to him the previous Sunday evening, stood up and announced simply and sincerely in Welsh, "I love the Lord Jesus with all my heart." So there was silence for a while as the words and the significance of quite how they had been expressed sank in. Then around the room, others too began coming under conviction, and there was a quiet sound of sobbing, first from just one or two, and then more generally as the Holy Spirit worked deeply in hearts, bringing revelation of the closeness and depth of God's love expressed to each other through the person of Christ. So effectively, that was the start of what became known as the Welsh Revival. So what the Lord wants is our heart, not theology, not more Bible knowledge, to go on our knees and have a revival here so that we can behold him. Now, Evan Roberts, everyone know, he prayed for 11 years for revival. And he listened to a preacher, "God bend us." He went on his knees and he said, "God bend me." And what happened was history. There was this great revival. This is the person not many people know, Rhys Howells. And I would rank him as high, if not even higher than Evan Roberts. He was a minor at the age of 12. But he got saved through this Welsh revival. He went to South Africa as a missionary, was part of the South African revival. Then he came back to Wales. And the Lord spoke to him, "I want you to start Bible College of Wales." He said, "Lord, I got no money." So he saw this property. I think they had to put a deposit of £1,000, which is a lot of money. And you can see all this now in one of the museum rooms in the Bible College of Wales. By faith, he went for it. Someone sent him a check. Do you know this was also reported in the newspaper of the days? And they published it that this guy mysteriously got the funding for this land to build the church. But then a few years ago, the church was pretty bad state that finally Singapore, Cornerstone Church, took over, and that church is now full of life again. And do you know, with Rhys Howells in the early days, Reinhard Bonnke came out of that college as well. And what's more important, he taught all his students how to pray And they prayed through the Second World War. There's a whole book written about him. It's really worthwhile reading because it inspires you. We were so glad to be able to be in that particular room where Rhys Howells used to go on his knees and pray. And I was so glad that day there was nobody in that room in the Bible College of Wales in that particular room. And with Joanne, Peter, and Liu Cheng, we were able to get together there and really just pray that the Lord anoint us with that water so that we can bring it back to Australia. So effects of the Welsh revival was tremendous. Pubs closed, magistrates had no cases, men stopped swearing, people paid their bill, they forgive one another. So literally the whole society was changed to God-fearing society. So it is possible to transfer that revival over here by digging the wells over there and to be drenched in the Welsh revival. And since we came back, that's what I've been praying. Lord, that this water that we brought back from Wales will cause wells in this nation also to well up. So I'm going to change now to even a higher notch. So now we're going to go full speed into a personal revival. There are many ways of receiving personal revival. I can only give you my own experience. If you read books, everybody is different. I truly believe if you can achieve unity of your spirit, soul, and body, you are closer to revival within yourself. If you have a lot of things that you have not worked out, it can be quite difficult. And what helped me along this whole process from the word go was praying Psalm 27:4 every day. I would pray that said, one thing, Lord, I have desired of the Lord. One thing I desired. It's as if David wrote this prayer for us because he knows we have not one thing. We have million and one things. So we only want one thing, all right? So one thing you desire, and that will I seek. Seek speaks of discipline. So you desire, you discipline yourself. You've got to put down time, schedule time with the Lord. Because if you don't schedule time, unfortunately, you will not do it. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. I encourage you, the verses that I'm giving you today, I encourage you to start meditating upon these verses. Now, hopefully I can help you jumpstart to a godly lifestyle through meditation of the word. See, meditation is eating or musing in two dimensions and transforming it into three dimensions. Thank you, Jerry, for coming up with that on a Friday night. Bible study engages only your left brain, all right? Because it's only to do with logic and reasoning. 1 + 1 can only equals 2. It will not cause a personal revival as it feeds only the intellect and that will only puff you up. But meditation engages not only the left brain, also the right brain, which is abstract thinking. And here, 1 + 1 can be anything or infinity, leading to an encounter with Christ at the cross. So, how do you meditate? You have to enter into the Word, experience the Word, go through the Word as a doorway to the reality the Word reveals. Experience and live in the reality of the realms of the spiritual world. So, imagination is the gateway and the screen. If you persist in recording these visions, your doubt will soon be overcome by faith as you recognize that the content of them could only be birthed in God. Jesus demonstrated the ability of living out of constant contact with God. That's from Mark Verkler. So while I was putting my lesson together yesterday, I thanked the Holy Spirit. He gave me this that I've never seen it before. I said, no wonder meditation is spelled with a T, the cross of Calvary, the place where we exchange our infirmity for his abundant life. Whereas medication is spelled with a C, it's a curse leading to infirmity, and hence many are weak, sick, and take medications. I just throw that in. Now, I'm going to share with you now in my last few slides steps to personal revival. As you know, we are made up of a spirit that is God-conscious, a soul that is self-conscious, and a body that is world-conscious. So how can we change from a lifestyle of medication or worldly dependency to meditation or Christ dependency? I encourage you to go home, first of all, really understand this verse, Hebrews 4:12. Many of us just read through it. You've got to get this word into your spirit. This is the ABC to a revival. You must get this word because the word of God is living and powerful. You have no idea how powerful the word of God is. And sharper than any two-edged sword, even to the piercing, to the division of soul and spirit. You got to cut that soul tie between your soul and your spirit. Because most of us, the spirit is so atrophied because your soul is just so dominant. It controls everything. And joints and marrow. Marrow is important because out of your marrow comes all the stem cells. It repairs a lot of cells in other parts of your body. What is the number one killer in the world? What disease? Vascular disease, all right? Not cancer. Vascular disease. And it's due to that lining of the artery, the internal lining, one cell thick called the endothelial cells, arterial endothelial cells. When it gets damaged, sometimes it cannot replenish itself fast enough. Where does it come from? It's from your bone marrow. So when you take Holy Communion, you say, Lord, I have the DNA of Jesus Christ. So it's your new stem cells coming out. It replaces your old cells. I won't go there, otherwise I'll never finish. So how do you start? This is how you start. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. In fact, no, I want everyone to read with me. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. See, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. So invite Jesus to come and dwell in our spirit, the heavenly gateway. So inside our spirit dwells the gateway to the first love. Go back and read Revelation as well. Ephesian church, what they lack. So you want to open that to Jesus. Let Jesus come in. And then, see, first love. Don't worry about all these gates. So God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit wants to occupy the inner sanctum of our spirit. So as we open that inner door of first love, the glory of God first flows into our spirit and develop our spiritual senses or gates. Then it flows out through our soul. And that's how it transforms our soul. And that's why Jesus said, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But see, so we want to allow him to flow through us and out from us, transforming both ourselves and the world around us. So as we open the gate of first love, we begin to allow him to flood into our whole being. So this can cleanse us, purify us, refresh us, revitalize us, heal us, encourage us, guide us, empower us, and more. But we got to also heed the warning of Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me. We have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. You don't want to dig wells of Essek and wells of Sidna and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. So we kept going back to the world, thinking that the world will help us. It doesn't. So we have a choice. Do we want a life of broken cisterns, a worldly life, or a life where the rivers of living water is flowing through us? So repent if we are still doing our own thing or living our old ways. So revival has to start with Revelation 3:20. In your spirit, not understanding it intellectually. Forget it. You get it here, rivers of living water will flow out of you and it will flood all these gates. So it's from the inside out. So, to summarize the roadmap to restoration, give control of our spirit, of our soul to our spirit. Take authority over the soul. Separate our soul from our spirit. Meditate and memorize Hebrews 4:12. Soul draws life from spirit. Our soul draws from the world through the body. Soul seeks to control the spirit. Therefore, we must break soul ties to our spirit. Use word to break soul spirit. So you don't do it on yourself. You do it through the word of God. So break control of soul over spirit. Change from the inside out. Reflect your spirit man and become one living being. The last few slides I want to share with you. Meditate upon Galatians 2:20. We all know this very well when we first get saved, but we don't take it seriously. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith, the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, we live in such a narcissistic world. So one day when I was meditating upon this, I said, Lord, I want to die to self. And there's so many things I've listed there. Last one was added by Kinley on a Friday night group. She said, selfie. So I left it there. So my daily prayer to the Lord, and I do this every day, just like before I worship, I would read Revelation 4 and 5. And I use the Passion Translation. I said, God, I invite your searching gaze into my heart. Examine me through and through. Find out everything that may be hidden within me. Put me to the test and sift through all my anxious cares. See if there's any path of pain I'm walking on and lead me back to your glorious everlasting ways, the path that brings me back to you. You know, you got to read it again and again until it sinks into your spirit. And I followed by this other verse. At each and every sunrise, you will hear my voice as I prepare my sacrifice of prayer to you. Every morning, I lay out the pieces of my life on the altar. And only you know, speak it out, what are the pieces of your life, and wait for your fire to fall upon my heart. So for those of us this morning who wants to lead a consecrated lifestyle to be revived, I invite you to stand as we pray together this morning. Abba Father, we invite your searching gaze into our hearts. Examine us through and through. Lord, know our minds and our thoughts and our pains, including our inner thoughts, where we have no-go areas because it's too painful. Put us through the test and sift through all our offensive tendency, and lead us back to your glorious everlasting ways, the path that brings us back to you. Father, at each and every sunrise, you will hear our voice as we prepare our sacrifice of worship and prayer to you. Every morning, Abba Father, we lay out the pieces of our life on the altar. And Lord, we wait for your purifying fire to purify, to cleanse our heart, to heal our heart. May today, Lord, be another day when we walk in your word, in the testimony of our Savior, Lord Jesus. May we reflect his glory in our behavior through words and actions. Abba Father, may we be an expression of your love so that others may come to know you. We worship you. We love you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Worship the Lord. You can sing this song. You can get this song on YouTube. We sing this song almost every day. I say.
This is a prayer.
Fall upon me. Let your rain.
one more time. Let's make that a personal dedication. It was just a beautiful scriptures that we want to, some of us, you know, last few weeks I felt like I've kind of crossed certain point in my life. You know, there are some young people here, you probably lived only a little bit, others have lived maybe halfway, others lived more than halfway, and it's been some weeks of my personal pondering, how do I want to give my life to God? You know, at the end, when I come to the end, how do I want, what will make me satisfied that, you know, this is the way I've lived my life before God, when there's no more tomorrow on earth and it's a time to graduate. So it just reflected, you know, I want to give my life to God in a fresh way. I want to clarify my heart, so I want to serve God with purer motive. I want to love people more and, you know, forgive people more easily. I want to have a short account. I want to, how many feel like that? We haven't finished our goal yet. We haven't finished our race yet. And let's have a, you know, really clean, good start. Let's lay out the pieces of our life before the altar, as Dr. Xu shared from Psalm 5. Ask the fire of God to fall, cleanse us so that we'll be wiser for the rest of the days. Lord, bring revival in our hearts, oh God. Lord, I felt, Lord, I lived in, you know, the foolish way that I've thought that I lived. Lord, I want to grow up. I want to leave those things behind. I want to start afresh. Lord, I don't want to fail you. Lord, I want to live for you. Lord, purify my heart. Let your fire fall. Bring revival in my heart so that I'll be a complete offering to you, so that you can bring your fire on this nation as well. Amen. Amen. How many agree with that prayer? Oh Lord, help me not to be selfish. Help me not to be preoccupied with my own issues. Let's sing that just one, you know, through verse 1 and 2. And let's make that our prayer. And if you also want to dedicate your life, you know, afresh, you can feel free to do that. You know, Dr. Xu and myself and some leaders can also pray with you. If you want, you know, extra prayer, you can come forward. But let's sing this through and make it a prayer, a fresh dedication to the Lord. Fresh dedication to the Lord. I've seen for myself, I've seen some things. The Lord has shown me some things. And Lord, I don't want to be foolish. I don't want to waste my life. Lord, I help me to live for you. Amen. Okay, let's sing. Father. Father, behold, Lord, your sons, your daughters, Lord. Here we are. You see our hearts. You see, Lord, our desires, Lord, as a Lord, your son, your servant, just opened his heart and shared his journey with you and his desire to be a burnt offering to you, Lord. Father, we pray, Lord, that you behold our hearts. Father, we pray that the same fire you sent, Lord, to that revival, Lord, in Wales, we ask, Lord, that it will fall upon our hearts, O God. Father, we pray that you will burn self-centered life. Father, I pray that you will comfort also every heart that are grieving, that are going through, Lord God, challenges and difficulties and pains. Abba, Father, I pray that this very moment, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will bind up every wounds. Lord, that you will pick up every child, O God, that have fallen on the ground, skinned our knees and weeping, Lord. I pray that you will lift us, O God. You will strengthen us, Father God. You will breathe upon us the very breath of life, and you will cause, Lord, the springs of living water, Beersheba, Lord, seven springs to flow out of our lives, O God, and to go forth. Father, I pray that every heart that decided that I'm going to renew my walk with the Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will cause joy to burst out. Lord, that you will strengthen our knees, O God, strengthen our walk, O God, that you will, every heart that feels that I've messed things up, I pray, Lord, that you will give us power to begin a brand new page, a fresh start, a strong start. Give every heart courage, O God, to live for you and to go forth in the power of your grace. Hallelujah. Father, I pray that you just lift your hand and bless every heart that is lifted up to you, Lord. Holy Spirit, move. Move, O God. Renew. Fresh beginning, O God. Fresh beginning for your people. In the name of Jesus. We're going to just close. If you want prayer, you can come forward. But otherwise, just want to sing the chorus one more time, and we'll close. After the chorus, a couple of times, you know, you're dismissed. The Lord bless you. If you want prayer, it's available. But we're going to sing the chorus just two more times. Let's make it our prayer. Spirit, touch your church. Stir the hearts of men.
Spirit, touch your church. Stir the hearts of men, revive the soul with your passion once again. I want to care for others like Jesus cares for me. Let your rain flow upon me.
Bless you. And let's give really thanks. know, warm thanks, Dr. Xu, who shared so openly of your heart. Thank you.